Hey, last week we kind of finished up about 5 weeks or so, I guess, on a series we called Follow Me. Hope you enjoyed that. Hope you're persisting and continuing doing that. Being like Jesus, becoming like Jesus. Come on, doing what Jesus said to do. That's we're just being with him, becoming like him, doing what Jesus said we'd do. If we act that way, we're going to be consistent followers of the word and of his kingdom and of his spirit's will in all of our lives. This week, for the next couple weeks, at least 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, we'll see. We're going to start just this mini series called God is Your Portion. Would you say that with me? God is your portion. We're going to look at several Old Testament passages today. Next week, I believe we'll get over in the New Testament. But I want to set it up today because the phrase really starts and comes from the Old Testament. We'll break it down. Really, we'll give you three key components about where we're going to go today. So it won't be something you can't remember. You'll be able to remember, but I'd encourage you to take some notes. I can't stress it enough. When you come to church, write something down. Put it in your phone, bring a piece of paper, bring a pen, write it down so you can think about it again tomorrow and maybe this next week when you get up. Here's a key scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9. It says, "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob," or Israel, "is the place of his inheritance." We see two words there that we're going to go back and forth with even next week. We'll talk about portion and we'll talk about inheritance. We don't see the word portion in the New Testament. We see the word inheritance in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, we see this phrase over and over that God, the Lord's portion, it says, is his people. The Lord's portion is you, nation of Israel. It says Jacob or Israel is the place of his inheritance. His inheritance was in a people. It just wasn't in a land, although the land had to do something with it. It was actually in his people. So God being your portion, listen, let's say it this way. God is your portion. Look on the screen. God is your portion because you are first his portion. God is your portion because you are first his portion, meaning this: God is always the initiator. God is always the one who takes the lead. He loves you. He's concerned about you. He wants you. He's thinking about you. Jesus in heaven is our mediator, our intercessor. Your face, your family, anything going on in your life is always before him. You are God's portion. Now, God wants in your life, God wants God to be your portion. If he's your portion, he wants you to recognize, I need you as my portion. The text then goes on to say in the book of Deuteronomy that God found the nation of Israel in the wilderness. He protected them, taught them, kept them, fed them, led them, that they were the apple of his eye. That this is speaking of them being God's inheritance or God's portion. But he carried them. The scripture says he hovered over them. He was a cloud by day, a fire by night for them. But you read the Old Testament scriptures consistently. It says something like this repeatedly. When the nation of Israel prospered, they left him. They went and served other gods, and they did their own thing, and they forgot God, and then God's spirit backed off from them, and the enemy came in and ravaged them, and it wasn't what God wanted, but that cycle was continuous in the nation of Israel. And listen to me, can I say it right now? Just stop, pump the brakes. God doesn't want you hot and then cold. God doesn't want you with him and then away from him. God doesn't want it working for you and then not working for you. God expects you and I to go from glory to glory, faith to faith, and strength to strength. Can I get an amen? It doesn't mean no dark days. It doesn't mean any valleys, because he said in Psalm 23 that he's going to be with us in the valley of the shadow of death. It just simply means I'm not going to go with you, and then I'm going to pull back from you. I'm with you. You're my portion. You're my God. Jesus is my high priest. He's my Savior forever and ever. Can I get an amen? So here's what we find out, that Moses led the nation of Israel through the wilderness. And again, this was toward the promised land. And we had all kinds of deals and all kinds of dilemmas with what God actually called these people as rebellious and stiff-necked. All kinds of situations, but God's heart was for them. But they wound up taking about a 10-day journey in the wilderness to get to the promised land. And it took them 40 years because of their rebellion. Everybody 20 years old and older died in the wilderness. Well, after that, Moses actually died, and Joshua was the one in charge to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. And if you know what was going on, remember way back in Genesis, God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. Those 12 sons became the 12 tribes of Israel. So when they fast forward, you know, quite a few years until we get to Joshua, when they come into the land of promise or the promised land, God's plan was to take each of those 12 tribes, which had, you know, 144,000, they had, you know, 218,000 people in that tribe, and give them a certain portion, come on, say portion of land. Their land would be different than somebody else's, but everybody, all 12 tribes, got a portion of their land. The portion of the land they got was called their inheritance. Inheritance. Look on the screen. Even though God gave the nation, the land, to each tribe, they were responsible to drive out the Philistines and the other nations physically and forcefully. Don't miss it. God said, I'm your portion. This land is your portion. This land is your inheritance. I'm your inheritance. I'm going to give it to you, but you're responsible to drive out the enemy that's in your land. I've given it to you. This is yours. You're going to have to drive it out. It will not happen accidentally. It will not happen just by prayer only. You are going to have to physically and forcefully repel the enemy because that's your stuff. Come on, anybody a little agitated when you read in the newspaper or maybe, I don't know what a newspaper is anymore. Maybe you just read online. You read online about somebody that's taken over somebody's house and they're called squatters. Come on. Like I'm thinking somebody, I went on vacation and somebody came in and squatted on my house. I'm about to squat a gun. Come on, somebody. I'm about to move. Come on, can I get a clap in the room? Come on. I'm about to physically remove you from my house. We about to have a little butt kicking going on. You are not moving into my property. I am going to physically and forcefully, and if I got to go to jail, come on, I got Brother Mario. He's going to bail me out in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Amen. Come on, Jack, you'll come see me, won't you, Brother Jack? Come on, I got a thumbs up. Praise the Lord. Come visit the pastor. A squatter came in, and he bailed him out. Listen, God's portion came to the nation of Israel, but they had to believe something and they had to do something. The same is true for you. Even though God says, here's what I've given you. You're complete in Christ. Scripture says that, Colossians 1. You're gonna require to believe something and do something and physically and forcefully drive out negative words from your head. You're going to have to physically and forcefully surround yourself maybe with some new friends. You're going to have to physically and forcefully say, Gary, today we are going to read God's word. You're going to church today, Gary, whether you feel like it or not. You're going to serve whether you feel like it or not. You're going to tithe and give offerings whether it looks like the bank account's going down or not. Because that's not how we operate by what we see. We operate by a higher standard. Can I get an amen in the room? Three things we'll talk about. Break them down here. We'll give them to you, then we'll go. Here it is. Look on the screen. Under God's lordship and leadership, these are two key components. Everything they needed would be supplied as they worshiped God, trusted God, and worked the land. Everything they needed would be supplied as they worshiped God, trusted God, and worked the land. Let's talk about those three things today. For God to be your portion, you have to worship God only. Only. In the book of Exodus, chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, Moses says this, God tells Moses, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in earth beneath, or that's in the water, that's in under the earth. Verse 5, you shall not bow down to them, nor shall you serve them. You know, after God gave Moses this, it wasn't too long. Anybody remember kind of like one of the next big moments that happens after this? God's in Moses' presence. He's in the presence of God. The scripture says he doesn't eat or drink for 40 days and 40 nights. How many know that's just amazing? How many know that's called Ozempic? Real quick. Come on. You know Ozempic? The drug? Okay. All right. Okay. Come on. Some of y'all not hip on that. All right. Okay. He's in the presence of God, yet he didn't lose any weight. He survived. God kept him. But after a while, God said, hey, Moses, you need to go back down that mountain. And he says, why? And he says, your brother and some of them people have made this crazy idol called a golden calf. Anybody heard of the golden calf? And so Moses goes down there and he sees what they're doing. He's so frustrated. And he actually takes the stone that God carved, the Ten Commandments, and he breaks it. How many know Moses is ticked? And he grinds it to powder and he throws it in the water. It turns a little bit red and he made him drink it. Hashtag the blood of Christ. That God will forgive you even if you've done some awful, ungodly things. Now, most people in North America, we have moved past idols. We're not making carved images and we're not making metal things and we're not making them and we're not worshiping and bowing to them. But I would dare say America is full of idols. Look on the screen, let me give you definitions, a long thing, so just work with me as we work through this. Idolatry is the misdirection of our worship. It's our hearts clinging and confiding in which does not or cannot bring us peace or security. Our heart clinging and confiding. It is the elevation and the glorification of anything other than God, which eventually leads to personal emptiness and separation from him. Idolatry raises to the highest authority and value that which is not capable or worthy of holding that position. It is giving more affection to something that is created as opposed to the Creator. How do you know if you've made something? How do I know if I've made something an idol? Here's a litmus test. Our lives become identified with it. We place it before God. When push comes to shove, it always wins. The warning is not to elevate anything above our love and our devotion to God. In North America, Southern California, my plea for us would be that we would take everything in our life, everything we love, everything we like, everything we enjoy. Listen, let me get in your business. Your marriage, your family, your job, your money, your recreation, your pleasures, your friends, and offer them as worship to God. Worshiping God with them, in them, not worshiping it and asking God to override what now I am worshiping. I'm gonna worship my family. I'm never gonna lead my family in the things of God because it's a little difficult. I'm gonna worship my job and I'm gonna make money. I'm just gonna keep going, going, going at the expense of coming to church and serving God and even taking the resources that God blesses me with and offering them as tithes and offerings to him. I'm gonna make my pleasure my idol. I'm a SoCal man. I'm gonna ride my bike, I'm gonna run, I'm gonna surf, I'm gonna sail, I'm gonna beach, I'm gonna recreate. Church, small group, serve, ain't got time. Oh, you got time, but you got some wooden and metal idols. Your marriage, your family, your job, your pleasure can't be above God, or it will become an idol. My desires, my wants, my pleasures, my purchases will become idols if I don't put God first. reading the book of Kings. I'm reading part of what I'm doing this year. I'm reading the Bible through a year, so I'll read the New Testament twice. I started the New Testament, now I'm reading the Old Testament, and then I'll finish the year with the New Testament again. I'm just doing that, just challenging myself, making sure I do that. But I just finished 1 and 2 Kings, and you'll find words like this in mainly 2 Kings, because you'll see a bad king, a bad king, a bad king, a good king, a bad king, a bad king, a good king, a kind of good king, a bad king, a bad king, and then they were all just the father, the son, the grandson, the great-grandson. It just passed down. And the thing is just so alarming that every time it went bad, it was really bad. Why didn't somebody say, let's do something good? let's get back on track here. Somebody, whoever got back on track, it was good. But one scripture said, it just alarmed me. I forgot where it was in 2 Kings, but it said this, people sacrificed and burned incense on every high place and in under every green tree. Every high place, every mountain, every peak, everything that was elevated, they placed an idol to worship. And every green tree, there was something in their life that somebody was worshiping and honoring and drawing their attention to. And listen to me, God would never move in the nation like he wanted to move in the nation until it became clear of all idols. Maybe God is waiting in your and my life until we are idol free. Idol free. Money in North America, security, let God be your portion. We trust him, we don't trust it. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. Secondly, we read this, for God to be your portion, you have to trust God completely. All three of these will be interwoven as we talk today just for a few minutes. For you, for God to be your portion, you and I are required to trust God completely. When the nation of Israel went into the land of promise, God told them, and God explained this to them. You're going to go. Remember when they went into the land of promise, and before they went in there, Joshua sent the spies in there. Remember that? Remember the spies that went in the land? Anybody besides two people been to children's church? Come on, somebody. The spies went in, and they brought back some of the produce of the land. Remember that? And then they came back and there were grapes as big as you could think. Come on, these things were huge and the produce was great. And they said, man, the land is full. It's beautiful land. It's a great land. But we saw giants, right? They forgot that they had to physically and forcefully get these giants out of their land. This was their portion. This was their inheritance. This was the call of God, the will of God. But in the middle of it all, they still were required to trust God completely. Trust God completely. God was telling them, I put you there. This is yours. Now you are going to have to do something about this land. What would be the analogy, or how can we bring it from the Old Testament to the New Testament in our day and our age? Listen to me. We're not driving out somebody in San Ysidro because we want to run San Ysidro. Come on, everybody. We're not doing that, but we need to take territory away from the enemy, meaning we need to save people. People need to be born again. Come on, everybody. People need to be filled with the Spirit. Marriages need to be restored, right? So one of the ways we do that is we pray. Come on. We pray and we say and we share the gospel and we speak life over people and we believe God and we raise our children up and we love our spouses. Come on, everybody. And we make a difference at work and we show up at time and we stay late and we're team players. Come on, everybody. And we bring the kingdom of God to bear in every situation and in every season that we're in. But you and I are going to still be required to trust God completely. Amen. Completely. Look at this scripture in Deuteronomy 11. I love this. Deuteronomy 11, verse 10. The land, he says, you go into possess is not like the land of Egypt where you came out. Remember that? They were bondage for 430 years. Where you're going is not like where it used to be. He says this, this is where it was in Egypt. You sowed your seed and watered it by your foot as a vegetable garden. That's how you irrigated it. There was irrigation at the time, and they would pump, 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 and the water would move through and irrigate. He said, that's what you did there. That's not what you're going to do over here. Check it out. The land which you cross over to possess, the promised land, is a land of hills and valleys that drinks water from the rain of heaven. A land that the Lord your God cares for. Check it out. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it. From the beginning of the year to the end. The the land you go and the land you're going to live in, your portion, your inheritance is different than that land. I'm telling you, it's different. It's different. You're not going to have to do over here what you did over there. Over here, I'm asking you to trust me. Trust me. Over there, you had to work for it. It had to be all about what you did. It had to all be about your education. It had to be all about your schooling. It had to be all about your networking. Nothing wrong with any of that. But where is your trust? It could be misdirected to become an idol. And God says it's going to be different over here. In Egypt, you had to work for the water, irrigate the water with your foot, self-effort, without God's help. Over here, this land you're in, guess what? We got a new plan. It's going to drink water from the rain of heaven. Does it mean no planting? Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, no. We'll talk about it in a minute. You're going to have to get your butt busy and work the land. But your trust and confidence is not going to be in what you do. It's going to be in who you serve. That's right. Can I get an amen in the room? Amen. Listen, in this land, we drink water from the rain of heaven. So, yeah, I'm still getting the same paycheck. I'm still getting $22.38 an hour like them. But I'm honoring God with what God's given me in this land. And I'm drinking water from the rain of heaven. It's different, even though we're in the same place in society. God says, where is your trust? Listen to me. We trust God by faith. We believe what we cannot see. Can I get an amen? What's God telling? What's Moses telling the people? What's God's plan here? Is listen to me. Look on the screen. Let me. I don't know if this is right wording or not, so just read it with me. Don't trust more what you can work with your foot watering your own field to produce results than what you can do by bowing your knee praying to God. Don't trust more what you can do. Don't trust more what you can do in the field and just, here I go again. I've got, you know, I'm just going to make it happen. I'm just going, no, it doesn't seem, seems like God ain't looking. I'm just going to work. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to get up. I'm not going to be happy about it, but I got to do it. I got to show up to work. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Where's your heart though? Is your heart going to be able to trust God in this? Because if your heart's not trusting God, no matter what you do, you're not going to be full of joy and you're going to wear yourself out. Listen to me. God causes the water to come in your field. God is your portion. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen to me. Not just reason. I'm going to do things according to the word. Do things according to the word. It goes beyond reason. It goes beyond common sense. It goes beyond what culture is doing. The scripture says, you dig ditches, God's going to fill them full of rain. You plant seed, God's going to multiply it and cause it to grow. You walk by faith, God moves mountains. Listen to me. It doesn't always look, we said this earlier, it doesn't always look like it's working. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. God works in the unseen before it shows up in the seen. Come on, everybody. Listen to me. God is your portion. He loves you. Your portion is God. His portion is you. His inheritance to take care of you is set. It's sealed, but you must cooperate with it in every realm, in your family, in your job, in economics, in every single realm. We are required to trust God. For God to be our portion, lastly, thirdly, we have to work the land under his leading. We have to work the land under his leading. What does that really mean? Again, God gave them the land, but they had to drive out physically and forcefully the enemy from their land. God to be my portion. It's just not God doing something apart from me. It's God doing something with me and with you. As you work, as you go to college, as you go to university, the scripture is real clear. What's God going to do? He's going to empower you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to give you favor. He's going to help you. He's going to increase you in everything that you put your hand to do. Listen to me. It's not all on God, and it's not all on you. There is a man's side, and there is a God's side. a man side and a God side. There's a the word that God gives, and there's a man or a woman who takes it and believes it and works it. There's the sowing of the seed, the planting of the seed, and asking God to water the crop. Listen to me. There's always a cooperation between God and man. For him to be your portion, there has to be a supernatural divine partnership. You will never be the person God wants you to be unless you partner with what God has already said about you, what God wants you to accomplish in the land, doing what God's called according to your gift, talent, ability, the grace on your life, where you work out what he's worked in. The God side is him giving the grace, the ability. The man side is you educate it, you hone it, you work hard at it, you go to seminars, you read books, you put yourself in situations where you're going to have to stretch. We prayed that this morning, where you would have to stretch and believe God and see God carry you and take you. There is the man side and there is the God side. And God doesn't work just in one or the other. He works in both. Can you say amen? Listen, we're workers together with the Lord. Listen, so we're not just going to stay, and we're just going to say, God, help me, help me, help me, help me. No, we're going to get busy and put in our hand to something so God can get involved in what we're doing. We want to be led by the Spirit. We just can't do anything we want to do. I thought when I was a kid that I was going to be, you know, for a while when I was a little kid, like sixth grade, I was going to be a veterinarian. I wanted to be a veterinarian. I like animals, you know, then I thought 8 years of school, I don't like it that much. Come on, somebody. I like dogs, but I don't like 8 years worth of dogs. God will direct you. God will steer you. God will empower you. So listen to me. Here's a scripture, phenomenal. Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. Check it out. God speaking. I have come down to deliver them out. This is the nation of Israel. I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land that they're in. Come on, they're in the land of bondage. To bring them up from that land, and I'm going to bring them into the promised land, a good land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Look at the phrase, a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, milk is only produced if you've got cattle or goats. Honey is only produced if you've got agriculture that is flowering. Bees only produce it if they're pollinating something, and then somebody's got to go to get the honey. The honey doesn't come to you. God bringing me into a land of milk and honey. Good, good. That's your portion. Now get busy. Get busy. Quit looking to the government. Get busy. Get up. Go to work. Work hard. You're a man. Work hard. You're called to do something hard. Work hard. Work long. Provide for your family. Believe God. If you're a woman, work hard. I don't know. Work harder. I don't know. I'm just kidding. No, I'm kidding. Go believe God. Come on. If you're a team, come on. You're a husband, your wife, let's put this thing together. Let's believe God. Kids, no freeloading around here. You get up in the morning, you better make that bed. You better pick up this room. You better get yourself a little job. Mow the grass. Pick the weeds. Come on, somebody. Come on. I'm like. Come on. My head's about to explode up here. Dear Lord, help the preacher. Help the preacher. You're only going to get the produce is if you put in the work. I'm bringing you a land of milk and honey. I'm calling it Uber Eats up in here today. No, that's not the way we work it. You got to get out there and you got to raise that cattle. You got to milk them goats and cows, and you got to plant the agriculture so the bees start pollinating, and you got to go get yourself some honey. Deuteronomy 8. Come on, have made anybody mad yet? Come on, how many of you know we ought to just start singing to the Lord again right now? Come on. All we got to do is start singing. All we got to do is start praising his name. And Pastor Gary flees away. Come on, some of this. I heard you. Come on, I heard y'all. Deuteronomy 8. Come on, verse 7. For the Lord your God is bringing you. Come on, say a good land. Come on, large land. Come on, brooks and fountain water. Come on, fountain springs. That's your land right now. Wherever you live in, this is your land. The land flows with valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines, figs, pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity. Everything you need is in the land right now. Amen. A land in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, out of whose hills you can dig copper. You're going to have to dig. It's there. It's your portion. You're going to have to dig. God's your portion. And he's giving you the portion, the inheritance. Now go get it. Go get it. Start that business. Get online. Be a YouTube influencer and tie to the church in Jesus' name. Start an online business. Do something. Work. Get a side hustle. Don't make it an idol. But get a side hustle. Do something with a couple extra hours instead of flipping around. Whatever that means. My wife just looked at me. I better read the word. Here we go. Verse 10. Here's God's plan for your life. When you have eaten and you are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he's given you. How many know it's just real easy to bless the Lord when you're eating and full? Come on, everybody. Let's be real. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The bills are paid. Come on, the kids are happy. I'm going to take a vacation to Cabo. Woo! Can I get a woo in the room? How many know it's tough when I got the bill collector calling? I can't even go to National City to the Motel 6. And I ain't got no food. And then sometimes you go, I don't think I want to praise the Lord. But that's when you do need to praise the Lord. Amen, everybody? Here's the warning. Beware. Verse 11. Beware in your land when it's all going good that you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, oh, God must want some stuff to multiply in my life. And your silver and your gold multiply, whoo, thank you, Jesus. And all you have is multiplied, whoo, wave a hanky. But beware that your heart not be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. And the warning in verse 17 and 18, he concludes, do not say in your heart, my power and my hand has gained me this wealth. It's all because of me. I went to school. I got a master's. I applied. I worked late. I worked hard. Gained me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant in the earth. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on, say this with me. God gives me power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant in the earth. That's what he does. What do? God's my portion. He wants it well with me and my family. Not going to make it an idol. Not going to make money an idol. Not going to make my job an idol. Not going to make my stuff an idol. I'm going to serve God. God is going to lead me in the land. God is leading me to have my portion be fulfilled in the land. He'll lead me, guide me, direct me, steer me. If it's a new line of employment, he'll open up a door. God is working for me. Listen to me. We work. We work. We work hard. We work long sometimes. We work. We sweat. We deal with stupid people. Can I say that? We deal with crazies around us. Can I say that? And we believe God. Come on, anybody got some crazies you're believing they get transferred? Come on, everybody. We work. We remember God. We believe God. And we act on his word. Can somebody in the house say amen? Amen. Come on, can you say a better amen? Amen? Leo, come up here and help me, Brother Leo. Stand, everybody. I've got something I want us to do for a moment before we leave. We praised real good this morning, so we're not going to praise God anymore. But I want us to make a declaration. Several declarations that are going to be on the screen behind us. What I want us to do is after each declaration, I want us to, I don't know how to say it different, but I want us to sit, not physically, but sit in these confessions for just a few seconds. Sit in them. When you say something, when you believe something, you better sit in it for a while so it sits in you. It settles in you. It abides in you. It remains in you. Say this with me. Come on, close your eyes. Would you do that? Just get that. That just sometimes centers us into God. Say it with me. God is my portion. Come on, sit in that for just a second. Everything you need, everything you long for, everything you desire, everything you hope, everything you want is in God as your portion. Say it again a little quieter. God is my portion. Say this after me. I renounce everything in my life that I have put above you. Say this, I will not worship any idol, only you. Father, if we've made any idols, reveal those things to us. Open up our eyes. Correct us, your loving correction. Prune us if I need pruning, if we need pruning, so we can bear more fruit. No idols. You're the Lord our God. Say this, I decide to trust you completely. I will walk by faith and not by sight. Every conflicting voice in our life, Lord God, that's trying to divide trust from you to it or something else, we make a decision today to trust you. Trust you in our marriage, trust you with our children, trust you with our job, trust you with our health, trust you with our friends, difficult situations, trust you with that thing that we've dealt with time and time again, and we don't know why it's not gone yet. We're going to walk by faith, not by sight. Say it again, God's my portion. Lastly, say this, I will work in the field you have for me. You empower me to prosper. Lead us, guide us, direct us, God, for the thing we need to do naturally. Open up new doors of opportunity, Father, for many in the church. Steer our young ones, our students, in the realm of employment, what they need and what you desire for them. But Father, you also have a field of the will of God, the purpose of God, serving. Help us work in that field. Serving in the church, serving others in the community. You empower us to prosper. It's gonna work, it's gonna work. Come on, say that. It's going to work. It's going to work. It's going to work. It's going to work. The plan's going to work. The plan's working right now. It's going to work. It's going to work. The plan's work. It's going to work. Listen, confident. Let confidence come in your heart right now. Come on, let iron come into your soul. It's going to work. God's working it out. All things together for good to those that love God, called according to his purpose. It's working. Just one last time, every hand raised in the room, every hand. Say this one last time. God is my portion. You are our inheritance, Jesus. If we have you, we have everything we need. You fall like rain on us, you water the seed so it can produce fruit. No idols. We're going to trust you completely. We're going to work in the land. Because God, you are our portion. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your ability. Thank you for your leadership, your wisdom, your counsel, your direction. God is our portion. So we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be worried. We don't have to be concerned and full of anxiety of what's going on around us. Because you brought us into a good land, a land that flows with milk and honey. Brought us into a good place. Naturally and spiritually. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We wait on the Lord, and you strengthen our heart. God, you're a portion. All over the room, head bowed, eyes closed one last time. You don't know Jesus. You're away from him, maybe. You came here, you've been here many times before, but maybe you've done something that's separated yourself from God. Or maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. All over the room, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Come on, when I count to three, you want to be included in the prayer that you meet Jesus, meet the King of kings and the Lord of lords, or get reacquainted with him today. I want to pray for you. Just while every head's bowed, every eye's closed, when I count to three, come on, lift up your hand. Come on, one, two, three, all over the room. Say, pray for me. Pray for me. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Three, four, five, six. Thank you. Thank you. Seven in the back. Thank you. Eight. Thank you for your obedience. Thank you. Nine. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your boldness. Go ahead and put your hands down. We're going to say a prayer. We're all going to say it out loud. You that raised your hands, I'm just asking what the scripture says. Mix faith with it. In other words, you really believe that what we're praying, God's hearing and God's answering. Because it's scripture. It's true. It's going to take you right where you're at. It makes no difference what you've done, what you did last night, what you did last week, or the last 10 years. Today is the day of salvation, Hebrews 3 says. Right now, the Savior is here to meet you. So say this out loud, everybody, and you especially that raised your hand. Father God, I come to you right now in Jesus' name. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, God raised Jesus from the dead. Be my Lord, be my Savior forever and ever. I repent. I change my mind and I change my direction. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We clap for you. Come on, everybody, all over the room. Come on, seven, eight, nine people raise their hands. Come on, church. Come on, church.